Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
We go to Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own credit union studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, far sideline, 15-10-5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, the Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
As the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. And by Haug Law Group, your local personal injury attorneys. You can't spell Haug without the U, the G, and the A. HaugLawGroup.com.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union studios in the Buttsmere Building in Athens, it's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Oh, and a good Thursday morning to all of you in the Bulldog Nation. Stick your head outside, and it's hard to believe we have not yet reached the first day of summer. But it's coming up this weekend, so next week it'll officially be summer. But welcome to the Bulldog Roundtable, coming to you live from the heart and soul of Dog Nation. That, of course, is the Georgia's Own Credit Union studio and presented by the Haug Law Group. First off, right out of the gate, U.S. Open getting underway today in Torrey Pines out in San Diego. Eight Georgia Bulldogs represented in that field, more than any other school in the entire country. And that is something definitely to take note of, be proud of, and let's keep our fingers crossed and hope we have a dog at the top of the leaderboard on Sunday afternoon. In the meantime, let's turn our attention to what is going on in the world of college football, and nobody knows that better than our good friend Barrett Salee. He is the college football guru for CBS Sports. And Barrett, right now, and I know you probably have an opinion on it too, but it seems between the NIL that's coming on board and the idea of a 12-team playoff that's being bandied about, it seems college football almost rudderless right now.
Yeah, rudderless because, you know, there's so much going on, and I think the future, there are so many different ideas of what the future can and should be, and I think a lot of that stems from the fact that paying players has been a discussion for 20 years now, right? Like, we've had that discussion in a variety of different ways. In some ways, it's about players who get busted, you know, in years past for taking illegal payments. Then there's this name, image, and likeness and the Ed O'Bannon case. And it just seems like it's all come to a head in a way that I think most people can get on board with the theory of. Execution is always more difficult, as we all know.
The devil's in the details here. I mean, you know, yeah. And that's what we don't have is the details. We've apparently, from what I read and understand, we're going to pay them. I mean, they're going to get paid. Now the question becomes, how?
Yeah, exactly. And there's no answer for that. And that's why, you know, I think this is it almost feels like there's, you know, everybody's scrambling. The NCAA, I think, did a terrible job.
Well, there's a
kind
surprise.
Kind of dragging its feet. Yeah, right?
Where it comes to the NCAA, I'm always shocked when they do something right. I mean,
exactly.
That's the honest truth. I'm always surprised when they get it right.
Yeah, and they wanted the feds to take care of it, and the feds were like, no, that's your problem. We're dealing with other stuff here right now. You know, so and as a result, you had states pass the law, which goes into effect next month. And I think you're at the Buttsmere Building. After your show, go down to the compliance department and ask them how they're feeling, because I've talked to people in compliance departments. They have no idea. It's almost going to be to me, it feels like most of them are going to say, all right, well, here are our rules in our state. If we do it wrong and the NCAA puts us on probation, okay, like, they can't punish us that much because they don't tell us what we can do. So, yeah, it's a mess. And with the college football playoff expansion, again, it's sort of the same thing. It's been talked about for so long, and everyone sort of dug their heels into a specific position. And I think Greg Sankey was one that did a very good job disguising his position. And in the end, he got a lot of what he wanted.
Well, here's my question about the college football playoff. Is we've been told over and over and over again, nope, four teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were adamant. We're going to only have a four-team playoff. And now, oh, well, maybe 12. Well, who knows? We've had a committee looking into this.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the committee part of it, I think that was put together. There always was that committee. I think the discussion came sooner than expected because we are, you know, there are five more years left on this contract. I think the idea was that, okay, when we get through the last cycle of bowl semifinals, that's when the discussion will really pick up because, you know, last time they expanded, the announcement was made in 2012 and it started in 2014, obviously. So I think it just got accelerated because I think the idea that the Pac-12 never had access was a big deal, you know, and then the fact that, you know, the group of five complained was a big deal. And the fact that a lot of times the fourth best team in the country was not really the fourth best team in the country, you know, made it a big deal. The semifinals being blowouts, I thought was a big problem. But Chuck, the biggest problem, which I didn't really realize that the decision makers were concerned about this or as concerned about this as they actually were, is that ESPN, I think, really did a disservice to the sport when it basically focused all of its attention on the playoff. So when you get to November, you're talking about what, 7 to 10 teams nationwide? Yeah, that's maybe. Not okay. Yeah, like that's not okay. And in the BCS era, you didn't have that because there was so much uncertainty. You were talking about 10, 15, 20 teams with different scenarios that could get in. And I think it did a horrible disservice to the sport. And now, look, I'd rather go back to the BCS because you would have more storylines. You can't put the toothpaste back in the tube. I get it. So what do? You keep the subjectivity in it with six conference champions and six at large, but not specifying the conference champions, which to me does something that I love about the sport. And that is judges the season based on the season, right? There's no set in stone way to do it. And yeah, there are automatic bids, but there are not automatic bids for every conference. You know, there could be a year where the SEC royally screws up and doesn't get an automatic bid, right? Like that could happen, won't, but theoretically there are no automatic bids. And so I love that.
Talking with Barrett Salee, the college football guru, the man at the top for CBS Sports. Barrett, when we talk about this playoff situation and going to 12 teams, and obviously that'll be the big discussion then is who was 13th, who got left out, and should they have been in? So that never goes away. But what happens to the college bowls now? Are they going to incorporate them? And could this be a method to help maybe save them? Because you see these bowls are struggling and with attendance. And so we've got to do something for the bowls if we're going to keep that system in place.
Well, I think the fact that the first round games are on campus makes it really easy to sort of usher in a new era with what we already have with the six bowls that are, you know, in the mix. You just sort of weave them in as quarterfinals and then rotate semifinals and then bid out the national championship game. So from that aspect, I think they'll be fine. But really, I kind of disagree with you. I don't think the attendance is a problem at all. You know, the ratings are great. And let's be honest about what those are. They're rewards and they're TV shows. That's it. And, you know, I think from a ratings perspective, since ESPN owns the vast majority of those lower tier bowls, they're extremely happy with the money that they're generating in terms of television ratings, which does filter back into the specific locations, the specific regions and cities hosting and things like that. So I'm fine with it. I think that's a big reason why the bowls are expanding in terms of, you know, you got the Myrtle Beach Bowl last year. You were supposed to have the Los Angeles Bowl last year. Obviously that got canceled and pushed back, but now it's going to be in existence. So, you know, I think the fact that ESPN just starts creating bowls to me suggests that they recognize that it's good for the players to have some fun, to get paid legally, and all that other stuff. And they put on a good product. People want football. And if you put a bowl game on Tuesday night and people watch it, great, and people do. So I think that's the aspect of it. And they can sell it, right.
And they can sell it.
They sell, do a great job selling, and they package them too. And I think that's the biggest deal, is that all these ESPN events, the ones that ESPN owns, they all sell in bulk to advertisers, and thus that filters down into to each host city.
Yep. Well, I tell you what, it's if there's money to be made and programming to be filled, that's probably as good a way as any to do it. You know, it's not that expensive to produce, and at the end of the day, they can sell it for lots of bucks, and that's kind of the tail that wags that dog. But Barrett, listen, I appreciate your time as always and your insight. Always great to hear. Barrett Salee from CBS Sports, thank you so much, my friend. And we'll catch up with you again down the road here before the season starts, because I want to get your perspective on how you think this year is going to shake out.
I appreciate it, Chuck. And I think people in red and black might like my opinion on that.
Okay, good. That's a good little preview and a good little tease for down the road. Barrett Salee from CBS Sports with us here on the Bulldog Roundtable. We're going to take a break and come back and talk to those guys about red and black. That's next.
This is the official sports talk station of the Dogs.
It's Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Bulldog Roundtable with Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Buttsmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
Well, welcome back. Let's turn our attention, I said, to those guys in the red and black, and I'm talking about that football team that's right now doing some individual workouts, but getting ready to get things underway. Coming up very quickly on us is July, and then before you know it, we'll be at SEC Media Days, then into August, and the countdown will really be in full swing then towards that September 4th meeting with Clemson. Our good friend Anthony Dasher, he covers the Dogs for UGASports.com. Good morning, Anthony, and this is that time that, you know, we get into a lot of discussion about who's leaving and who's coming. Dogs have had a lot leaving, but you just lost Demetrius Robertson, but it seems that nobody much bats an eye. The optimism is such with Georgia and with this squad that Kirby has assembled and the coaching staff that the optimism is still at high pitch.
No question about it. I mean, kind of like a wave coming in over the ocean, I guess, kind of a swell of optimism from the Georgia football team. And you're right, even though they lose Demetrius, who would have been a key cog in the offense this year. I mean, with Eric Gilbert coming in, I think that's kind of eased a lot of concerns maybe about the wide receiving core. And even before Arik, I mean, I felt good about, what this receiving group, has a chance to do this year. But you had a guy like Arik into this wide receivers room. I don't think those guys are going to miss a beat. And there's a reason people are very excited about this team this year.
What do you think the biggest addition has been for Georgia? And there have been some big ones. I mean, when you talk about bringing in a couple of DBs out of the portal and then a tight end that's highly heralded coming out of high school and still coming out of LSU, Arik Gilbert.
Yeah, well, both of those guys, I think, make tremendous impacts. And Coach mentioned, Arik was a tight end at LSU last year, was recruited as a tight end, but he's going to play wide receiver at Georgia. He's 6'5", 245-pound wide receiver.
Wow.
I mean, size-wise, he compares to a guy like Calvin Johnson. I'm not saying he's going to be Calvin Johnson by any stretch, but, I mean, that's the kind of physical, person you're going to have out there that, Coach Munkin is going to have at his disposal. And Darian Kendrick, I mean, that was talk about such a position of need, to get somebody with his experience come and play cornerback to kind of take some of the pressure off of a Jalen Kimber, off of a Kelly Ringo, and some of those other younger DBs. I think I don't think they can really say enough about that right now. But those two guys, no question, I think they can and they will play very important roles for Georgia this fall.
Anthony, help me tamp down expectations a little bit. What concerns you with this team?
Probably the offensive line, and it's not because of a lack of talent. I mean, you're still talking, everywhere you look, there's four-star and five-star, players. I mean, I know Coach Martin doesn't like to get into that and doesn't agree with all that necessarily, but they've got talent. It's just a matter of getting the right, pieces in the right places. Who's going to play left tackle? Will it be Xavier Truss? Will Marius Mims, we've talked to Coach Donovan a few times, and he just raised about this guy, said he's one of the best young offensive linemen, that he's ever seen. I mean, will he come in and play a role? There's just a lot of guys that they can play. This guy, Coach Luke just has to figure out where they're going to go and how quickly they can gel as a unit. But right now, that'd probably be, my biggest concern. I guess there's still something about this, about the secondary. Again, you're still, you're talking about a lot of young guys who will have to, play, extensive time this year. Talented, but again, just not a lot of experience in some spots. But those would be the two. But again, it's not for a lack of talent.
Well, we know about the schedule. You start off with Clemson. That is obviously huge. But after that, you look at that schedule and you think, it is fairly favorable for the Dawgs.
Yeah, Georgia is going to be favored, I think, in every game after, from Clemson on. Not saying they won't be favored in Clemson. I don't think we've really seen an official line on that yet. But no doubt the schedule sets are very nice for Georgia, but they still got to go out and play the games. I know historically there's always seemed to be one game that kind of sneaks up and bites the Bulldogs when people least expect it. But I think this year the way it kind of broke down, I think the conference did Georgia some favors with how the schedule sets up. I mean, there's no Alabama on it, no LSU. They don't have to play Ole Miss this year, so yeah, I think it sets up very nicely.
When you look around the SEC and you have to cover these other teams too, as well as you pay close attention, who do you think is capable of making a run outside of, let's take Alabama and Georgia? And now give me the teams that you think are in best position to challenge.
I guess I'll still say Florida to a certain extent. I know Coach Mullen has done a better job of recruiting there. They do have some experience, coming back. Of course, they have to replace their quarterback. I'm not sure, what Trask did last year. That's going to be tough for anybody, I think, to improve. But, on the other side, I think LSU is going to bounce back some this year. It was a young team last year. They lost a lot of players, off their national championship from the year before. But they've got, a very good young team. I don't think they're going to win the West, but they could make some noise. Probably those two teams. If Kentucky can get their quarterback situation figured out, I think Kentucky could have to be kind of decent this year again, and maybe finish that third place, spot in the East, something maybe of that nature. But there's no question though that Alabama and Georgia are the class of the conferences. Your Ole Miss is not bad; it's not going to be bad. I didn't include them in the group because I'm not sure how good defensively they're going to be this year. But I think Georgia and Alabama is going to be their year once again to kind of rule the roost, and it's going to come down to Atlanta, which one is the best.
Talking with Anthony Dasher, who covers the Dawgs for UGASports.com. And, Anthony, I got about a minute left with you, and before I let you go, let me turn the page completely over to basketball and ask you, I think it's been well documented, all the players that are gone from last year's roster for Tom Crean and his staff. But what do you like about what he's brought in, and where do you think Georgia basketball stands right now?
Latter part of the question, I'll have to kind of wait and see on that. But you look at, Coach Crean here, as you well know, he likes to have a lot of length on the team. He likes guys who can run the floor. He likes guys who can shoot. And, from what we've seen, the place he's been able to attract, I think he's done a good job with that. I think, whoever winds up being the point guard is going to be a key to take over what Sevier did last year. Sevier did such a great, I thought, very good job as a kind of the floor general. They can get somebody to fill that spot. I think they've improved their outside shooting. I think the length, like I said, I think is a lot better. And we'll just have to kind of wait and see. I know it's going to be a big year for Coach Crean. I know that's transfer portal. I suppose it was over 1,600 players, something of that nature still out there. And it's a different game that coaches are having to play right now. But this is a very important UFA for Coach Creed to get these guys yelling, get them off to a good start. And like football, they started summer workouts as well. So we'll have to wait and see. But I think he's done what he can. He just got to go out there and now get him to execute and get some wins.
Anthony, appreciate your time this morning, my friend. Anthony Dasher covering the Dogs for UGASports.com. Appreciate it so much. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Talk with our good buddy Buck Blue. He's got a huge camp coming up with a lot of key high school players in it. That's next here on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Dialed into the Dogs all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on the Fan.
This is Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, and you're listening to the Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan on FM at 93.7. Go Dogs!
Thank you, Coach. Welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable. And let's welcome in a DGD, if there ever was one, a guy that led this Georgia football team to a national championship back in 1980, our own Buck Blue from 680 The Fan. And, Buck, congratulations on your camp that you got coming up, buddy. This is an opportunity for you to, I know, do something that you like to do and with some good friends, and that's to work with young people.
There's no doubt, Chuck. And, you know, I mean, what good would we be if we couldn't pass down and drop some knowledge to the younger guys? Because certainly there were guys that helped me along the way. So that's what it's all about. We're going to have some fun, myself and Hudson Mason. And even included Joe Hamilton, the Georgia Tech legend, legendary quarterback, to come in and be a part of it. Brian Finneran, who was one of the great 1AA players in college history. He won that Walter Payton Award playing receiver at Villanova, and then, of course, went on to some great success with the Falcons. Matt Ryan trusted him throwing the ball. So Finn's going to be working with the receivers in the camp, and then me, Joe, and Hud will be obviously working with the quarterbacks. Really excited about it coming up Saturday, June 26th. It'll be from 10 a.m. to noon in Lilburn, working with high school quarterbacks and receivers. That includes wide receivers, tight ends, running backs. If they want to learn about the passing game, we're encouraging people to get signed up. And look, the camp is free, Chuck. I mean, how often do you hear about that? A quarterback camp that's free, and it's because of our great sponsor, Infinity of Gwinnett, our flagship sponsor, picking up the tab on that. We want to encourage still some spots left, but they've got to get registered, Chuck, at 680thefan.com/QB camp. That's 680thefan.com/QB camp, 9th through 12th. We're looking to drop some knowledge on them, Chuck.
And this is going to be at Providence Christian Academy.
Absolutely, in Lilburn. So we're thrilled about that. It's a great facility. We've been meeting at length here lately, trying to get all the I's dotted, the T's crossed. Came up with the plan as far as the game plan goes for the 2 hour place. So we're really excited about it and just hopeful that we'll fill this thing out. A few spots available, Chuck, they got to get registered online at 680thefan.com/QB camp.
You know, I can't imagine if you're going to be a quarterback, and I know you've got one quarterback that's already registered, it's a young man that's committed to NC State. So there are going to be some quality kids here. It's an opportunity to go out and showcase your skills, too.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, you know, I could drop some names on you. And, look, we're still working on Gunner. Look, these five-star guys, they've been busy, Chuck. They've been traveling all over the Deep South here on these the visitations to campuses and so forth. And the camp will take place one day after that open period ends. So we're still working on some guys like that. But this isn't just for the five-star quarterback. We're looking to help people of all talent levels there that are looking to play quarterback in their high school, at their high school. So, yeah, really excited about it. You know, I'm sure there's some people wondering, and I've seen some of this on social media, but I will not be teaching how to hand the ball off during the camp. You know, I did pick up some knowledge in the passing game through the years. So
yeah, you threw it pretty well.
We're not going to teach just how to hand the ball off. So I wanted to hit that in case anybody was wondering.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you can go back and look at the stats, you threw it pretty darn well when that coach on the sideline had let you throw it. So, you know, that's something you did and did well. So it'd be a great opportunity for these young people to learn. And Hudson and Joe also working there. And then the receivers, you can't ask for any better than Brian Finneran, the terrific career he had at Villanova. And then, of course, with the Atlanta Falcons. And he had some experiences elsewhere in pro football, too. So another guy who's also been rumored to have been courted a couple of times to be a coach in the NFL. So he knows what he's doing with those receivers. This would be an excellent opportunity for young people to learn. But again, if they go to 680thefan.com, and Buck, like you say, it is free, and that's thanks to Infinity of Gwinnett, and we certainly do appreciate their support for this camp.
Yes, Steve Kendrick and his staff are just first class. It's been a pleasure working with them, and just can't thank them enough for picking up the tab for the camp and all these young kids that are going to show up.
Well, we certainly appreciate you putting this all together and looking forward to the benefit for these young people. And while I got you on the phone real quickly, let me just thank you publicly for sitting in for me while I was out. I appreciate that very much. And, Buck, best of luck with this camp.
Chuck, thanks so much. Right now, I've got a couple of plays. If you can get them to Coach Monken on how to get the ball to Darnell Washington, got a couple of plays drawn up. I'm gonna go ahead and send that over to you.
Okay, I appreciate it, my friend. Thanks so much. Buck Ballou here with us on 680 The Fan on the Bulldog Roundtable, and we appreciate his participation this morning. To all of you in Dog Nation, thanks so much for being with us. Just keep that radio dial set all day right here to 680 The Fan, and let's have a great Bulldog Day, everybody.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.